So let's give him our full attention this morning.
Amen. Praise God. I appreciate the privilege to preach anywhere, and really an honor to preach here in Serious Men, where I really grew as a disciple. This right here was the highlight of my week, being able to sit with my pastor and learn from him. And so this really is an incredible privilege to be here right now. So with that, let's get started. If I can get some scriptures, 1 John 4:2-6 will be our main text. And so if you'll get that for me, 1 John 4:2-6. Then if I can get Isaiah 54:17, if you get that for me, Isaiah 54:17. 2 Corinthians 10:4, Nate, if you'll get that for me. Then if I can get 2 Corinthians 10:3. Daniel, if you'll get that. Ephesians, 2 Corinthians 10:3. Ephesians 6:13. Then if you get Matthew 11:12. And then Romans 5:20. A couple more readers, if you'll get that. David, if you'll get Romans 8:37. And then these last two, Revelation 12:11. Peter, if you'll get that, Revelation 12:11. If you'll get for me, Luke 10:19. Okay, so how many understand that we are engaged in spiritual warfare? Many of you probably have heard Pastor Greg say that ministry, anything ministry, is spiritual. So I want to start just with a story. Back in May, one of our disciples was able to get our play. We do a play called A Super Fairy Tale, and this has just been incredibly impactful in the Northeast. He was able to get us into the inner city YMCA, and this was going to be a great opportunity. But 1 week in advance, that open door began to close. So you have to understand, this is from back in May. This was advertised all throughout the YMCA, posters, on their video screens, everything. This was on their website. They had a sign-up list for the event on their website. We outreached for it. And so it came down the Wednesday before that Saturday event, it's totally canceled. The door completely shuts. And so we're trying to get other venues in the area, but nothing would open up. And so I told the disciples that Wednesday night, and actually wound up preaching a sermon to the church, that Satan knows the potential of this play. In just 2 years, we saw over 2,000 visitors and over 700 saved. We've done this over 3 years, this play. And I said, so hell knows the potential, and we're not going to settle for this. And I talked to the guy that was leading the outreach that Saturday. I said, let's do all day outreach and evangelism. We're going to do one-on-one witnessing. We're not going to pass out flyers. We're going to do one-on-one evangelism. Let's go street preaching. In other words, we're going to tell the devil that if he tries this again, it's going to cost him. Right? Because this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual warfare. So, with that in mind, in the scripture we're going to look at, John reminds the church of the spiritual conflict at work. He talks about the Spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist, right? Anti-Jesus, it's going against. And so, but what we need to understand as men of God, as disciples, as men that want to preach the gospel, men that are going to pioneer or possibly take over, we need to remember we have a greater power. A greater power. And so I want to look at this. Let's read 1 John 4:2-6.
By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are not of the world. He who comes He who knows God hears hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Okay, so let's think about this here. When hell wages war, counterattack is the title. When hell wages war, counterattack. Let's think firstly about strategic resistance. So there's different ways that Satan launches his attacks against the people of God, against the work of God. And so the Bible, book of Isaiah speaks, number one, about weapons formed. Let's read Isaiah 54, 17.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, says the Lord.
Okay, so no weapon formed. These are weapons that are purposeful assaults. They're designed specifically to work against the work of God or the people of God. They're strategically put in place. These are carefully crafted for a specific time, carefully crafted for a specific place, a specific people. So you have to understand then, Satan takes the time to strategically work against us in the most effective way possible. That's what it teaches. He's strategizing. How can I be most effective in stopping the work, the people of God? This could be personally, right? Hell may attack your health to hinder. He'll attack your marriage, your children, your finances. This can happen corporately. In an effort to hinder the expansion of the church, he'll attack pastors in numbers of ways. He'll influence high-ranking officials, right? He'll influence city code inspectors when we were trying to get our baby church started and get them into the building and all that. It's like every inspector that came was different and had a different opinion. And the list just grew and grew and grew and grew. Finally, I said, man, this is not right. We can't keep doing this. You need to pray for one. Pray for one, because we need one. This has to stop. And so that's what wound up happening. We came down to one guy giving us favor. But here's this influence, these strategic hindrances. And so these are aimed to hinder specifics, strategically placed at strategic times, to stop specific things in the purposes of God. The second way that Satan resists God's people and God's work then is through strongholds. A stronghold, this idea is of a fortress, like a bunker or a bomb shelter. We can think of it that way. It's set, it's secure, it's not going anywhere. Right, that's the point. So let's think about 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
Okay, so here to destroy strongholds. Right? And so here we need something to destroy those bunkers, those influences that Satan has. But you have to remember, as you step into ministry, Satan's been at his ministry a lot longer, right? He's been doing what he's been doing a long time. And so since dominion was lost in the garden, he has gained an influence. Our scripture says they are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. That's a stronghold. What I have, they'll listen to me because I have a strong influence. The world listens to the world. The sinful world obeys the voice of sin, right? So what this means for us in spiritual warfare is that Satan is not going to let things go easily. He's not going to surrender his influence. He's not going to back down, let go of that stronghold without a fight. He will not casually surrender territory. And so that's the point, is that strongholds are difficult to remove. And this can work out a number of ways. As I've pastored in New Mexico and now in New York, is you see there's, you know, patterns in families. We call this family curses. That's a stronghold. We see addictions in people's lives that have been formed, and these habits that have been formed. Those are strongholds. Different areas will carry different strongholds, right? Certain places have they lean towards a certain mentality or a certain approach, and those are strongholds. This could be pride, right? In New Mexico, it was the pride of raza, man, our own, our people. This is what we are, right? 505, bro, you know? But then in the upstate area, the pride is different. It's their intellect. It's their success. It's still pride. It's just another form. And these are strongholds. Or it could be the pride of wealth, or laziness can be a stronghold in a culture or an area, right? And so you have all of these different strongholds. Cultures have their strongholds, right? Different cultures of alcoholism, poverty, the prescription, medical stronghold that I deal with in the upstate area, right? All these different things. In other words, these are things we're up against. These are strongholds that are in place. And so John speaks of this conflict in the scripture that our brother read, is every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. That's talking about putting faith in Jesus. They are now in line with God, but every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is a doctrinal issue he's dealing with, but nonetheless, there's a spiritual conflict, a spiritual battle. So I've explained, here's weapons formed, here's strongholds, and the problem is people hear that, right? And they can feel hopeless, they can feel helpless. Right? How can we win? How will we turn this around? You know, it's just too hard. Well, our scripture says we are not of the world. We have been reborn from God. So because of that, greater is he who's in us. We have something better. We have something more powerful. Often tell people, you think your battle, your crisis, that, you know, God's here and Satan's like, oh, he's right there, man. No, it's not even close. Greater is he. And so the hope we have when it comes to attacks, when hell attacks, is we can counterattack. And we can do it with greater power. So let's think secondly about the weapons of our warfare. So the emphasis of our text is, greater is he who is in us. We have Jesus on our side. That means something, right? Jesus, we know we conquered Satan. That means we have greater power at our disposal. We have greater power we can lay a hold of. So I want you to think, I want to ask now, how do we exercise that power? How do we apply that power? What are some ways? Yeah, okay.
Prayer.
Okay, prayer, yeah.
Fasting.
Fasting, yeah. Okay.
Witnessing.
Witnessing. Oh, he stole it, yeah. Yeah, what else would be some ways? Yeah, David?
Street preaching.
Street preaching, absolutely, yeah. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Giving.
Giving, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So these are ways. So. Number one, there's the armor of God, right? This is, we're talking about spiritual warfare, engaging a supernatural enemy. So Ephesians 6 speaks of the defensive armor that enables us to stand in the midst of battle and withstand, continue standing even after battle, even after spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:13.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand.
Okay, so here is the armor of God. This is defensive. And we know, right, the shield of faith, belt of truth, righteousness, etc., etc. So those are spiritual armors applied defensively. And then we have offensive weapons. Let's read 2 Corinthians 10:3, the old switcheroo here.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Okay, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. In other words, we function in the physical, but what we're doing is very much spiritual. So you have to remember when you're out there, when you're laboring, when you're in it, when you're going through it, recognizing this is inspired of hell. This is not going to stand. So we have weapons, and you guys named a number of these. So defensive weapons, the armor of God, offensive weapons, outreach and evangelism. When we take the gospel outside of the four walls through witnessing and testifying. Witnessing is a declaration of the gospel. Testifying is how the gospel, Jesus Christ, has impacted your life personally. How that power impacted your life personally. I loved, really appreciated the testimony last night. But Jesus changed me. Man, when he started saying that, something happened in that place.
Yeah. Yes.
Why? Because that's the gospel. That is the power of it. And when we witness, men, that's going to change some dynamics. You're going to begin to turn the battle in whatever area, whether that's in ministry, whether that's in your marriage, your health, your fruitfulness, etc., etc. Witnessing changed my salvation. There's a long time I was involved in a band here, but I wasn't on outreach. Right? No, I'm in ministry. I'm playing in a band. I remember when me and my wife settled, we're going to go on every Saturday morning outreach. That changed our salvation. That changed my discipleship. That changed so much because I began to get on the front lines of the battle. That shifted everything because now you're engaging the enemy's territory. He don't like that. He don't like it because he's afraid. He's afraid of what will happen. Street preaching is the bold declaration of Jesus Christ, right? As we street preach and preach the love of Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation, you can be changed, you can be converted, that Jesus is coming back. Are you prepared, right? That establishes a dominion in your life personally, for your church, for your ministries you're involved with, right? Think about the story of Stephen in the book of Acts as he's street preaching, right? And here's Saul, he's influenced by the demonic in his own pride and all this. But you know what? Later in his conversion, he references that day. Man, when Stephen preached though, because street preaching, man, is doing more than you realize. There's a woman who had gotten saved in Rochester when Pastor Jeff Day was there years ago. And this woman in Rochester, still to this day, there's a huge human trafficking problem. And this woman, she was a prostitute. She would actually recruit young girls all over the major cities of America, Atlanta, Chicago, LA, and bring them back to Rochester and train them. But you know what the beginning of God dealing with her and drawing her was? Someone street preaching. Someone street preaching. As she heard the love of God, the dignity that you can have, the value that you have, something shifted in her heart. That happened through street preaching. And today, all these years later, she is still saved, living for God, completely transformed. You know, because this is, we're talking something supernatural at work, spiritual warfare. So these weapons are about dominion. That's what it comes down to. And they transfer dominion to other areas. to other areas, as you witness, as you evangelize, as you give, as you street preach, as you on and on, all these different ways, prayer, all the things we've already talked about, fasting, you're going to gain dominion in other areas. It's transferable. So I remember as a disciple preaching in 180 at the time, because of the amount of preachers, it was like once every probably 3 or 4 months that I was preaching. So I had preached a couple times, but now you got to think that's over a 6 month span. And I remember that people were getting saved when I would preach, but they weren't raising their hands. That's what we contend for, and coming forward. And so I remember asking Pastor Greg after the second or third time, whatever it was, how do I get dominion in this? You know, you teach us. This is what we need to contend for, and that's what I'm contending for. And he said, you need to pray specifically. You know, pray specifically. What do you want God to do? You can fast about it. God, I'm relying on you. You can give a special offering. God, in faith, I give that you would unlock what, you know, this, the windows of heaven opened, right? There are ways this plays out. He said, lastly, you can go witness. You can go witness. And even if you don't pray with anyone, no, God, I'm going to go disrupt the weapons of hell, and I'm contending for hands raised in my altar call. And so, of course, I decided to do all of them, right? And so I contended those specifically. God, I want to see 7 hands raised. And the next time I preached, it was just a Holy Ghost night. God was moving, and there was this really anointed video. And Tim was door director at the time, Pastor Tim. I said, man, I want to preach after this. He's like, all right, sounds good. I preach, and 4 people raise their hand for salvation. And I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Well, the night wasn't over yet. There was still maybe 3 or 4 events left in the night. And as we're singing, you know, a praise song, as people are praying at the altar, those 4, Tim's going, can we keep going? Or I said, let's keep going. So we kept going. We finished off the night, and he asked me, why did you keep going? I'm just curious. I said, because I prayed for 7 tonight, and 4 raised their hand. Would you know it? We continue the night. 3 visitors walk in the altar call song. Preach that altar call. The next 3 come and get saved. 7 saved. You know what that became for me? A reference point. A reference point in my ministry. That when I'm not seeing certain aspects of dominion, I'm going to get on the offensive. I'm going to say, no, this is unacceptable. I'm going to see. And I do these to this day, these ways of contending for dominion. So, what you need to understand is that Antichrist fears the real Christ, Jesus Christ. And so these weapons work not because of us, but the Bible tells us because they have divine power in God. We're getting a hold of God's power. See, Antichrist wants us intimidated to preach, wants us intimidated to witness, wants us intimidated to declare Jesus. Right, how often do we hear, man, every time I rise up, something goes wrong. And what does that do? It intimidates you. Because what if something goes wrong? Right, Antichrist wants us afraid and anxious, to be afraid of rejection, to be afraid of what people will do to us or say to us. Antichrist wants us to stop what we're doing. You know, when it goes back to that event there at the YMCA, I have seen pastors in the field, when the venue gets canceled, they do nothing. You know what? That's not what we're taught. We're taught when hell attacks, counterattack. That's what we're taught. Because we understand the spiritual dynamics. Let's read Matthew 11 and verse 12.
The days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force.
All right, so we know the Bible's filled with military imagery and warfare and battle and weaponry, etc. And so here, when hell attacks, counterattack, and we can see victory. Why? Verse 4, you are of God and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater. He is greater. Our weapons are greater. Our power is greater. We can take confidence in that. We can take confidence in the word of God. And, you know, when my disciple told me, they shut it down. I said, you know what? God doesn't like it when people stand in the way of people getting saved. And so we're going to tear it up on Saturday. We're not going to settle for this. Let's close. Let's think about the greater the conflict, the greater the faith, the greater the results. The enemy doesn't resist what he already owns. You need to understand that. He will not resist what he already owns. Sometimes you hear new converts say, man, before I got saved, I didn't have these problems. That's because you were already owned. Right? You were already on your way to hell. So he's not going to resist what he already has. Hell resists what is threatened of being lost. Let's read Romans 5 and verse 20. Did I hand that?
Yeah, I got that one. Okay. Sorry. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more.
Okay, so here where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. I believe there's a special grace released when people who are under assault choose to do right. Choose to do right. Choose to do what God has asked them to do. What God has called them to do. Think about this. In the Bible, the record, Jonathan and the armor bearer. Right here, here is assault. The enemy has a stronghold. And they say, let's see what God will do. We're under assault. The enemy has an influence. But let's go see what God will. And we know they took that stronghold. They were able to overcome that. David and Goliath. Here is this incredible giant mocking the people of God, mocking the word of God. And David says, man, let's take this guy. Have you looked under his skirt? He's not like us. He ain't got nothing going for him. And what does he say? I come to you in the name of the Lord. Not on my own, because I know I can't, but with God, right? And that is what we're talking about, laying hold of that power, the four lepers. We can die here, or we can see what God will do. And as they walk, it sounds like an army. Through the book of Acts, I'm reading right now just all of Paul throughout the New Testament. And as I'm reading the book of Acts, it's amazing. You know, we read the revival, we focus on the revival, but we understand, if you look at that, there's tons of persecution connected with that. There's tons of resistance. There's tons of this climate of Antichrist, yet at the same time, there's revival happening. And so here, this is because greater is he, but there must be a decision to go on the counterattack. You have to settle. Okay, this is happening, but we are going to do what we know to do. That was one of the reasons Pastor Mitchell planted me in Santa Fe. Pastor Aragon asked Pastor Mitchell, why him? I'm 24 years old. The church is 33 years old. Pastor Aragon genuinely wants to know, Pastor Mitchell, why him? And he said, because he has so much faith, he doesn't know what doesn't work. And when Pastor Aragon told me that, I said, God, seal that in my heart. Let me never forget let me never forget those words. Let me never know what doesn't work. Because you have to make a decision, no matter what, I'm going to go on the counterattack. So where do you need breakthrough this morning, gentlemen? Where has the enemy been knocking you around? Where has he been aiming his attacks in your salvation, your ministry, your calling, your marriage, your family, your fruitfulness, your finances? I want to encourage you, go get a victory. Go get a victory. Go wage war against the enemy, right? Get on an outreach. That'll help. Go outreach off the grid, as we would call it. Me and Pastor Tim, let's go off the grid. Go and just on a Tuesday night. Now that's how we wound up praying with Johnny and Bernice. It was a random Thursday night. Let's just go. Tim called me. I'm like, bro, I'm tired. He's like, come on, let's just go see. Let's go just outreach just for an hour. And we did. And look at the results, man. Because you go get a victory. Lead an outreach. Lead an outreach. Lead a healing crusade. Step out in faith. Pray for the sick. Witness at school. Witness on your college campus. Find opportunity to witness on the job. Be a good worker, though. Right? And so here, this is what makes a difference. Go get a victory. Let's read just these very quickly here. Romans 8, 37.
Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Okay, more than conquerors through him. Again, that's the power of God at work in us. Revelations 12 and verse 11.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death.
Okay, they overcame or they conquered Satan, right? With the blood of Jesus and the testimony. We're talking about going and getting a victory. Lastly here, Luke 10, 19.
Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes, scorpions, and crush them. Nothing will injure you.
Okay, I have given you authority. Now you can trample, you can conquer these things. Again, that's the power within us. So I'll close with this very briefly. Let me tell you what happened that weekend. So everything gets shut Wednesday. This is what we're going to do. We had our regular Friday night outreach led by one of our disciples. We went to Charlotte Beach. It's right there on Lake Ontario. We outreached and evangelized. At the end of the night, we saw three saved and one healed. Dramatic miracle. Leg grew out and people witnessed it. There on the beach, there on the pier. When they hear us praying and speaking in tongues, that gets attention. And as they watch this leg grow out, that gets attention. People were able to witness for the first time to Chinese immigrants, Vietnamese immigrants, Nepalese. They've never heard the gospel, right? And here we're making contact, three saved. Saturday, we did all day outreach, one-on-one evangelism. That was the stress. I told the guy leading that day, we are not handing out flyers today. We are waging war. We need to witness to everything that walks. Every creature is getting witnessed to today. And that's what we did. We street preached in three locations. We went to the Rochester Public Market, one of the oldest farmers markets in the U.S. It's packed. One time I witnessed to 14 different immigrants there. They're from all over the world. We're preaching to the nations there. We went to Monroe Avenue and street preached. That's a row of bars and restaurants, and that's where the YMCA is on that strip. So we took characters dressed up, put them outside of the YMCA on public property, and we street preached on the other side. There was families that were coming to the play by the droves, taking pictures with them. Princesses are witnessing to them. Superheroes are witnessing to them. We're street preaching on the other side. We marched down Monroe, and every two blocks we're street preaching on the corners, testifying of Jesus Christ, witnessing one-on-one. And then we ended at the beach again that Saturday evening. And that day we saw 24 saved. And that was just our church saying, no, we're not going to settle for this. Not only that, we witnessed to hundreds more than we would have been able to in the YMCA. Because we told Satan, this is gonna cost you. This is gonna cost you. to do this. And then on Sunday, we had visitors in both regular services, and we've had visitors since that outreach, from that outreach. That's powerful. Because we say, this is going to cost you. And that is when hell wages war, counterattack. Okay, that's all I have this morning.
Any questions based on this study? Not where King got his wife.
Right, right. Yes.
So how do you maintain that attitude or that spirit? I mean, I know when things are not going as planned, you know, you're like, okay, you kind of get, you get to that point where, you know, something has to change. But what if everything's going pretty good? You're like, you don't want to have, I'm not going to do much, you know.
Yeah.
It's good. You know, to keep that fire, but at the same time, you know, things are, I guess, maybe content for more.
Yeah. It's what I've learned for me and is that you have to stay disciplined in all seasons, good and bad, right? And that's what happens to a lot of people. When things go good, the discipline stops. Some is when things go bad, the discipline starts, or when things go bad, the discipline stops, right? It just depends on the individual. So every season, maintaining the disciplines, regular prayer, regular Bible reading, regular outreach. Those are keys, man. Obviously, regular church, got to keep that, you know, that's going to help, right? So maintaining those disciplines, getting a self-motivation now. Right? And that's what I'm talking about when, you know, we would outreach off the grid. We would do, you know, sermonizing. Me and Pastor Tim and other guys, we'd sermonize every Saturday morning if we could. And we're disciplining ourselves to where now that self-motivation is still at work because it was established here. And so that's a good thing to learn now. Because Pastor Greg doesn't call me and say, did you guys outreach this Saturday? Did you have morning prayer this week? You know, were you there? No, those are self-motivations that have to be put in place before. So that would be a discipline thing, maintaining it no matter the season. Yes. Yeah.
Kind of off of what, you know, his question was, and get your thoughts on it, but it's just, you know, for where I'm at personally, is you know, I'm finishing up college, and now I'm gonna have more time on my hands. But it's like there's such a temptation to, you know, fill now on that extra time with not necessarily bad things, but just things, you know, for sports, you know, other things that can just fill my time, but they're not spiritual. And then before you know it, it's like it desensitizes you to that spiritual realm and contending. And what were your thoughts on that? It's just...
Yeah, I guess I don't understand the question.
Well, just he's like, how do you maintain that posture of staying on fire?
Okay.
And it's just, you know, are those things in your life that necessarily bad? But could be,
yeah.
You know, it could be carnal, I guess, to a degree as well, but...
Yeah.
Is that correct, that those things can kind of desensitize us to...
Yeah. Yeah, no, okay, yeah. So it's so keeping the discipline, number one, maintaining a discipline. That's the same answer. But secondly is priority. Right? Like you're saying, I'm gonna have more time. Well, okay, but what are you gonna fill it with? And again, yeah, the idea is, well, it's not bad, and it probably isn't. But what is it going to produce? What fruit will it produce later? Right? Because every choice is a seed. That's the seed principle of the Bible, right? Every choice is a seed, and so that's going to produce something later. So what is this going to produce? What am I doing right now? What's it going to produce? And so, you know, for me, and as far as the discipleship factor goes, those seeds of discipline that were put or produced now, I'm able to, right, I was able to step into ministry. It's carried into ministry. Now it's being planted into my man, right? So it's a perspective of priority, right? And salvation isn't a hobby. right? It's your life. Seek first the kingdom. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. So maintaining that is a decision, and keeping the priorities right. So.
Yeah. Excellent. Anyone else? As they say at a wedding, ask now or forever hold your peace. All right, how many appreciate that this morning? Yeah. He's going to be ministering in those services today, so look forward to God bless you.